Hello, Thursday, June 17th. Another one.
Another good show.
Chris Long, Fred Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
The boys, some news, Madden, life. Let's go. Let's have a show today, huh? Not too bad.
Hell yeah.
Like, I thought yesterday's show, good show.
Oh, yeah. It was packed to the gills.
Today's show, like, I think good show.
Another good one.
We miss A.J. Hawk, obviously. He's out on a land cruise for the Ohio State Buckeyes, some charity or something like that. But I feel like we're okay. Can't thank you enough for spending time with us in the middle of this summer with, you know, there's not a lot going on. But I think we can at least garner some conversation that'll hopefully help you spend some time on this beautiful Thursday. We can't thank you enough for allowing us to be a part of this beautiful Thursday with you. If you like the show, by the end of it, please be a friend, tell a friend. If not, just act like it never happened. Had a little indigestion there. Just ate a half pound the Reese.
Yeah, that thing is huge.
Tastes good, though.
I bet. I'm going to dive in myself.
Yeah, good. I mean, I cut it into pieces like it was a pie because of how big the cup was, but inside the peanut butter is just so juicy.
It looks like it.
Let's get to the show. Oh, whoa, whoa. If you don't like this show, it's act like it never happened.
Yeah, piss off.
All right, let's go. Big old show today. We have a legend joining us for the first time ever, Fred Taylor.
Wow!
Yeah, co-host of the I Am Athlete podcast. Cannot wait to chat with him. Also, Chris Long joining us in about 15 minutes. His brother obviously got injured as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, but came back after a little bit of retirement. Chris won two Super Bowls, obviously very tight with his brother. Just want to, you know, chat about what's going on in his life with his incredible green light pod. And then also what he thinks about his brother Kyle, the state of the NFL, everything like that. And then Fred Taylor, I have thousands of questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grew up watching him just run. Hey, that Florida Gator running back to end up in the Jacksonville Jaguars on a team that nobody really knew about. He had all the records for the Jaguars franchise most, basically for, I assume, still into this point, because the Jacksonville Jaguars were obviously an expansion team and they were kind of doing their thing. This guy was an absolute fucking legend, though. Felt like he was faster than everybody, bigger than everybody, ran tough. Seemed like it was a power that would bust into a 30, 40, 50-yard run every single play. We watched his best of here earlier today just to kind of get reaffiliated with it. He was a legend on the field. He's a legend off the field. Love hearing him on the podcast. Cannot wait to chat with him. Chris, can't wait to chat with Chris Long as
well. Of course,
right. Fred Taylor, first time ever talking to him, so I assume that's going to go well. Joining me at Ty Schmidt at Boston Connor. Connor, you have a shirt on that is absolutely beautiful. You designed it yourself, and I'm proud of it. We got a chance to hear this guy talk that's on the right side of that that shirt. Ernie Adams spoke yesterday. The overlord for the New England Patriots organization, this superhuman, this Rain Man-like guy figure that was recording.
Whoa.
He was not recording. Mentally, he was logging them with his photographic memory. Allegedly, this guy could do everything. Scheme. He knew who was bad on the other team, what was good. He potentially could memorize people's signals or tendencies or something like
part
that.
Of the game.
He's this person that has been alongside the greatest coach and GM of all time, Bill Belichick, forever, and he never really spoke until yesterday. You listened, obviously, as any Patriot fan would, excited to hear what this guy was all about from his own perspective. What were your thoughts? Is he a guy that everybody outside of New England who maybe had learned about as of late and like, oh, we hate that guy. Should people hate him, or does it seem like this guy is just the truth when it comes to football encyclopedia shit?
He's the absolute truth. He said yesterday he's been working in the NFL for 46 years, 21 with the Patriots. I mean, that is absurd. He also went from the NFL, took like a five-year hiatus, went to Wall Street, made a shit ton of money, came back to the NFL, and then went back to the Patriots. I mean, it was incredible. Well, like you said,
he's one of these nerds that just so happen to love football.
Yeah, analytically, he's just lights out. Like like you were saying, like he could just tell a scheme. He would go on the field before games, watch players.
So Bill Belichick has been running
PFF
and scoring systems and grading systems on every player for the last 20 years. It's just becoming the whole analytics thing where everybody has a book and they go through everything on what you should do on this down or this down in this situation. The people talk about how, you know, there's a mathematist or somebody who is making decisions for these coaches on rather large – you know, situations, whether it's third or fourth and short in a playoff game or something like that, they'll cut to somebody now up in the booth. It's like, here is the analytics advisor for mm-hmm. this team, and it's somebody who has a headset on. I think they go directly down in there, and they either have a book or a whole tendency and what are the outcome and what's not going to be. If that's what Ernie has been doing for like 20 years, it makes sense if they were just able to keep that under locks too, that they've been using the analytics for so damn long. Yes. Now everybody else is kind of doing it. That's really, I think that was my big takeaway from listening to Ernie speak. And then whenever you say, hey, this guy went over to Wall Street, made a bunch of money, it's like, oh, this guy's really good with numbers.
Yeah.
This guy's really good with this type of stuff. It's like all these things that have kind of come to the forefront here as of late, which is numbers. You hear, it's literally when people are hired, they're asked, are you going to be an analytics or a feel? Are you going to do this? Are you going to have a numbers person, a math person? It's like a new thing. They've been doing it in New England with 15 years with this one guy on a dry erase board.
Yeah, yeah, he's like the godfather of analytics in the NFL. Because, I mean, growing up, it wasn't like I knew Ernie Adams as a household name. But as, you know, the game developed and analytics became more common, it was like, okay, we have one of those guys. I've had him for years, too. And he's the reason that, or one of the reasons, main reasons yeah. that we have, you know, been so successful.
I will say, I'm not sure if he was the first. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I have no idea if he was the first. I assume there were some teams that had some mathematists. If yeah. you're a super competitive person and you know, maybe get into a point where you're like, oh, well, averages, law of averages can help us out too, right? Can yes. it? And I assume somebody has done that, but it was all so secretive, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody wanted anybody else right. to potentially think about, hey, those football meatheads over there, they got no idea these nerds are a fucking weapon.
No clue.
And by the way, shout out to Ernie for being a nerd, right? Who also loves sports.
Yeah.
I love the super sports nerds because I feel like the sports community is always considered as the stooges.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at the sports stooges. Mm-hmm. Just cool. like whenever, you know, the Notre Dame fans went on to the
field against Clemson.
Against Clemson after beating the number one. Yeah. Well, I think it was post. Maybe. We don't know when the height was, but it was in the
I think
it was coming down. The curve had been stopped, or slowed down at least.
For sure.
But the next day, there was 200,000 people on the street somewhere celebrating something else. And the sports crowd was these obnoxious, mm-hmm. ignorant, dangerous, basically.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, okay, cool. You're smarter than me. You're telling me that is dangerous. Okay. But then there was another celebration. I think it was the election. Maybe the election celebration was happening. They're like, look at these passionate, excited people. It was like the sports community is always the dumb people. Mm-hmm. That we are all, by the way, cool with it. Hey.
Sure. Wear it.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
That's right.
Hey, look at them boys compete out there.
Hell yeah.
Hey, look at our ladies go ahead and dominate everybody else. Let's go. Hey, this is a good time.
Hey, go get that ball.
Hey, all right. And come on now. I understand that is potentially the thing, but us having these types amongst the sports, Aaron, by the way, yeah, going on Jeopardy yeah. and mm-hmm. you know, representing, that's good for sports. I'm a big fan of that. I like Andrew Luck, like I don't know if this is something that was told to me, but I think he was like the number one ranked architectural engineer free agent or something, because I think in that world, by the way, the architects and the engineers, I think they have like leagues. Like I think it's like you get to
it's a pretty competitive
lot of money, like yeah. you're like a professional, like it's a lot of money where you get kind of brought into like different buildings and whatever it is. I think he's like if you wanted to be the guys who answer sure. Brainiac, it's like that's good. I like whenever that happens. So shout out to Ernie, man.
Yeah,
hell of a run,
thank
buddy.
You hey, Ernie. Baby Ernie, miss you Ernie.
Now, a lot of people are going to say Ernie was a part of a lot of terrible things up there, and he probably added to that with the thought of his big brain stuff, you know, soften the ball a little bit, probably yeah. get a little...
They'll call him a cheater.
I don't know about that.
Well, because when it gets cold, Ernie will say, you know, when it gets cold, the ball will soften naturally. So yeah. if you take a little bit, a little more out of there, I don't think anybody will catch it. I mean, maybe that was happening. We don't know where his incredible knowledge and brilliance and forethought got stopped or continued, but all we're saying is obviously a massive part of a massive successful run that I have nothing but respect for.
Absolutely, me too. And you know, that game was close. If those balls were fully inflated, yeah. who knows what happens with yeah. the Colts going forward.
Yeah. 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 We, what was it, 30?
Did 45 to 7.
So we lost by 30 something. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played the Saints. I told you
guys. That week, yeah. just slinging it around the
yeah,
field.
Yeah. That week, that particular week, I don't think they had me thrown in practice at all. But that Saints game, when we went marching in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When the Colts come marching in. When the Colts come marching in for a night game, they will end up losing by about 50 to 60 points. That was a big one, man. There's a couple games you remember just getting your absolute ass beat. One of them, and by the way, the wins that we win by a lot, those are also awesome. I have little to nothing to do with. The losses by a lot, normally punter, little or nothing to do with. You just remember how miserable everything is when those moments. We played Green Bay in a preseason game, I think, and we might have lost by 200 points. It felt like that place was celebrating a lot, and it was packed out, by the way. Mm-hmm. Lambeau was packed out in a preseason game, and we were losing. We lost by a lot. And Aaron even did a...
Oh, he did a bell.
Wow. Yeah, he even did a bell. I think it was the third preseason game.
So he got like a full drive.
A drive and a half or so, like a quarter almost. And then some teams, the way they handle preseason, by the way, some guys, we wanted you to get to halftime, go through a halftime, and then come out for the third quarter because that middle eight is so important. So like coaches, you know, decide how to spend that third preseason game or whatever. It used to be a big deal. And I think now they're down to three preseason games, right? So that used to be a much bigger deal. I think now we're at the point where guys are like, yeah, we're not doing it.
Don't need it. Listen. See you week one.
Hey, we'll figure it out. We got 17 games. Okay, it's always a long season anyways. We talk about how just want to get better each week. Post-Thanksgiving football is all that matters. Do these four drives fucking matter against this team that is literally not – I think that's going to become the – oh, well, what are the upside? Well, they could they could get great rhythm. They could figure out their halftime routine.
Game reps.
Okay, yeah, get some game reps with the lights on. Hey, you're not wearing a red jersey, maybe for the quarterback. Maybe you are getting jammed, not by someone on your team. Okay, here we go. Is that going to happen inevitably, probably in a couple weeks anyways? Yeah, okay, that matters, though. You're right, that does matter. What are some cons? Oh, blown ACL, they're out for the year.
Yep.
Okay. Oh.
All right, well.
Oh, is that the one con? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that is really the only gun. So is it worth it? You know, everything is like, is it worth it? That is everything with preseason football. That particular game, Aaron did have some drives, and they did not decide to just rest him until the season started. He might have scored 500 touchdowns against us. It just felt like they were singing the entire fucking time.
For you, were you like, did you need the preseason games or look forward to them just because, you know, get back into it?
I did not look forward to them.
Yeah.
I did not look forward to the last three quarters of preseason games. Because although your stars might opt out of playing or whatever, you normally have your special team crew, you know, in the first quarter. Like people that are probably going to be there. Now, it is big for a lot of guys to make the team because special teams is where a lot of guys make the team. Even the superstars at your college, somebody that was a massive, you know, big man on campus at your college, superstar, there's a really good chance that the only way he's going to make an NFL team is if he plays special teams. So, like, preseason's a big deal to see what person that has never been asked to play special teams football in their life can transition into a pass set for a punt, block, sprint 60 to 65 yards, and then tackle somebody in the open field or whatever. So it does matter. But for me, in that process of them trying to learn if they can do that or not, there's a lot of situations where, guess what? They can't.
They can't,
And maybe their first go is nowhere near what they're going to be on their third go, maybe. But, man, we're still in that first go, and somebody has to experience that. I've been flipped on HBO Hard Knocks, Cincinnati. Anytime, and every once in a while, that's when you have to try out your backup long snapper, too, whatever person on the team is your backup long snapper, just in case, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. And it's a live rep as opposed to in practice or whatever. So there's balls coming back woobly, you know. It literally turned into a inventory. Shout out to your ball, man. I think it would be worth more if it's, you know, used a little bit. Mm-hmm. It used to turn into snap. Just kind of like, literally, as the ball is in my hand, I'm just...
Yeah, just get it out.
See, as soon as it gets there, I'm out of here. So, I needed preseason to hit some balls, I think. But most of preseason was just catching release as quick as possible. Yeah. And then walking to the sideline. I've told this story before, but it's worth saying again. There was John Teerlink, JT, this incredible defensive end coach. All right, he'll go down as the pass rushing goat if you talk to Robert Mathis, Dwight Freeney, basically anybody that he's coached. I think he was at the Vikings for a while and maybe the Lions. He's been all around. Wow. He was this legendary human. Okay, big guy, though. We're talking big guy. He could take down a case of beer one night training camp if he had to.
Okay. Big body.
Big body, big legend, though. Also,
yeah.
Would like a case of beer every night, too. Like, hey, let's have a good time here. Everybody liked him. I did not know him, though. He was a defensive end coach, pass rusher coach, drinks beers, big guy. Assumed he would just hate me, the punter. I punt the ball. I think it's my rookie year preseason game. Guy goes in for a block. He misses, but normally when somebody goes for the block, they're circling back to set up a wall or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that guy goes through. I punt it. I'm jogging down trying to cover because I think I'm trying to – it's either my first year or second year. I forget which year. It was one of those years. I'm trying to prove to my teammates, like, hey, listen, I don't know what you guys are used to. Hunter Smith, great athlete, but I will also
– get in
there. I will throw my – like, I'm not scared to make a play. So it's a preseason game. I'm jogging down, and this guy – he circles back. I did not remember that there was a guy behind me, so I'd assume this may be my. He hits me probably with I think it was a 15 to 20 yard lead up, right in the middle of the field. His shoulder right into my chest. Boom. So like a perfect blindside block almost. Didn't fall.
Ooh, what?
But okay. I lost every single ounce of oxygen I had inside of my body. So I had to, I take a knee there, you know, I get up, I walk off the whole thing. I'm having like I'm going to die here.
No air.
One of those things, you know, so everybody knows what's happening, but there's no real cure. So you just kind of have to live through it. And it's kind of, it's like, hey, we've been there, done that. And as I'm getting my, it's coming back. You know, I think a lot of people were learning. JT comes over. Okay, and he's a massive man. So whenever he would either stand, he would either stand or he would take a knee. And I was sitting on the benches the first time he came over, and he sat down next to me. Okay, and he was a big guy. He puts his weight on my leg and sits down or whatever, you know. And I'm like, how's it going? He goes, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm getting. He's like, hey, guess what's going to happen? And I was like, what's that? He said, they're going to score a fucking touchdown right now. And then, like, literally a second later, they scored. He's like, who cares? Nobody. This is the preseason. Okay. You kick the ball and you get the fuck off the field. Okay. If they score a touchdown on you, who cares? Nobody cares. Okay. This game doesn't matter. We don't need you eating a shoulder, basically, from 30 yards and being gone. So you kick the ball and then what? Get off the field. Thank you. They tapped me and then he stood up and he just walked away. And it was like one of the coolest coaching experiences I've ever had in my time. Yeah, there he is.
Damn.
Yeah. And from that moment on, by the way, we got along pretty well.
Yeah.
We got along pretty well because the next punt, I literally just like whoop, bang.
Yeah.
And I walked off and I looked over. He's on a knee and he like gave me like
salute.
Yeah. It was cool because he's, you know, DN guy.
Yeah.
Defensive line guy, football guy, punter, kicker. You know, I assume he wouldn't, but those are the things in preseason, by the way, that you can't put a price on.
That's right.
So all these people that want to get rid of preseason and take these chances away from young players and you don't get. What about that moment with me and JT over there, John Tierlake?
How about that?
What are you gonna do?
If we didn't have preseason, that would never happen. Now, also, I did almost fracture my entire sternum there.
Yes,
yeah,
you did. Collapse lung, perhaps.
Oh my god, I was so scared. I've never. I literally, as he hit me, I thought my entire body just broke. Didn't fall though. By the way,
guys, probably respected that.
It was good on film. I was running though. Full speed as well, so it was I think it was just like kind of like
just like two brick walls hitting each other.
Yeah, he did not get hurt at all though. I think he went ahead and walked it off, but I was damn near dead. Yeah. We have some big news for you.
Yeah.
Your favorite men's healthcare brand, Roman, is now available at Walmart. Roman's non-prescription products have got you covered with everything from sexual health. Aaron, you're about to get back in the game, by the way. Let's go.
Should send him some.
We should. Or just send him to Walmart because it's available there. Roman and Walmart. And everything from sexual health to everyday health. Your well-being is important and taking care of it should be simple. Now you can add to cart in real life.
Ooh.
Roman now available at Walmart. We're in your area. Let's go take care of it. And also, special. Roman condoms are new and exclusive to Walmart. You won't find them anywhere else. Designed ultra thin, lubricated for pleasure, and FDA cleared because safe is sexy.
Hell yeah.
Roman swipes are an easy, discreet way to delay ejaculation and increase sexual stamina. They're fast-acting, and your partner will enjoy them, too, because there's no passed-along desensitization if you use it as intended. Longer, better sex with Roman swipes. Roman condoms keep you safe. And also, they got testosterone supplements. They got hair supplements. Mm-hmm. Roman has everything to make you the best you possible. Visit your local Walmart store today and check out Roman's line of men healthcare products. All clinically tested and make you best you possible. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, a man who has an incredible podcast, Greenlight Pod, a man who has two Super Bowl rings. I don't know how many Lombardis he purchased from Tiffany's. I'd assume two of those as well, so he can maybe toss them around his boat or his house or anywhere else that he frequents. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, legendary name, legendary man, Chris Long.
What up, Chris? What's up, fellas?
Oh, that mustache. Wow. Are you kidding me,
yeah,
dude?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Yeah, you see that? I'm having a hard time triangulating here, but yeah, y'all see that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, is this a decision that was made? Are we really going for this mullet mustache? How long are we sticking with it? Is this just pre-haircut? What's going on here?
Oh, listen, man. Yeah, I am trying to. I'm trying to get a little waterfall going by late in the summer. I think that's in. It's been in for some time. And the mustache was. Let me get you some better lighting here.
Yeah, hold on. No, my favorite part there was your head poking into the frame.
I mean, it's bad, dude. Hold on a second. Golly, dude.
No. Yeah. It looks good. There it is.
No, there we go. I'm trying to get this shit together here.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
Yeah,
cool,
you
cool.
Got it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm trying to – I grew the mustache. I only grow the mustache on special occasions. Well, I don't grow the mustache. I just shave my beard because I never have, like, a shaved face. You always shave, right?
No.
And then you – or you didn't – you shaved for the first time in a long time recently.
Yeah, I got bullied by the WWE. Don't be a bully. Be a star, I was told. But, yeah, I don't look good. I don't look good with a shaved face. You do, though.
I don't know about that. I don't like to – I feel naked with without facial hair. But yesterday – I got to throw out a first pitch at the local little Wood Bat League game, so I would consider that a special occasion. Okay. And I busted out my alter ego, which is Rod Carricker. I don't know if you ever saw me buying a lotto ticket on the local news.
Oh, yes.
A few years, but yeah, so got a little local inside joke there. Threw out the first pitch, threw a strike, and now I got a mustache to show for it.
I do like that you got a gimmick in some parts because of a local news situation. Did you throw – hey, did Rod Carricker throw gas yesterday or no?
I think they clocked me at 48.
Wow.
Yeah, so the first time when I threw, it was at Busch Stadium, and you know that's like a big deal, right? You know? Let me get this shit together here. The lighting's terrible.
It's all right, Chris. It's okay. It's okay. We don't care. You look good.
FaceTime is a motherfucker.
No.
Hey, so the first time I threw a pitch out was at Busch Stadium, and if you've ever been to Busch Stadium, they call it baseball heaven. It's like a big deal. It'd be like going to Lambeau. So I was a rookie in St. Louis. I was nervous. This is the first time that a lot of St. Louis fans got to know me. And what do? I go full windup, and I throw it hard because the catcher I was playing catch with was like, hey, if you do anything, just don't skip it. And I said, okay, don't skip it. So I said, I'm going to go full windup, and I'm going to bring some heat. So I tried to hit like 82, 83, like high school days type thing. And I sailed it, and I nearly hit a World War II vet in the side of the head. And it bounced off the backstop at Busch Stadium and rolled all the way to first. So it was a very embarrassing start, too. What was a relatively embarrassing stay in St. Louis as a football player? Dude, can you imagine? I said this on my pod last week, man. If I killed a World War II vet, like imagine you like survive Iwo Jima and then you get hit by some rookie with the first pitch at Busch Stadium.
I'm gonna be honest, Chris. You know, I love listening to you speak. I always find you wildly insightful, entertaining. I think you're a good speaker. When you started that story about Busch Stadium and everything, I was like, oh, this is going to be a fucking terrible story. And I just thought you were going to say you skipped it in. I thought you were going to say you skipped it in because I think that's what everybody does. When they throw it hard, they skip it in. Instead, you almost took out a member of America's greatest generation. Yeah. I had no idea, Chris. I had no idea. That is unbelievable. Did you play baseball in high school? Good baseball? Your brother was a guy, right?
I wasn't up to standards of my little brother, Kyle. He was damn good. You know, he got drafted by the White Sox later round or whatever. But, I mean, lefty throwing 95, like 6'7 on the mound.
Yeah.
I'm getting out of the way. But I was pretty decent. I was a good fastball hitter. I'll put it that way. I could hit a fastball about a half a mile. but if you threw me a curveball, it was going to be a long day.
Let's talk about your football career. And even though you almost killed a World War II vet and you didn't win that much in St. Louis for whatever reason, you end up with two Super Bowl rings. Now you're doing the media thing. You enjoying life? You happy with everything that's going on? Are you pumped up about how your football life is and is currently happening?
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, you know, I see you grinding over there. I think one thing you realize as you get into it is it is a grind. It's a different grind than football, right? Like, because when we played, it was a physical and a mental grind, and you had the highs and the lows. Like, you had the extreme highs of, like, winning a big game, and you had the lows of playing terrible and Twitter lighting you up and not wanting to go to a grocery store. I never have those days anymore. If I have a bad pod, I can still go to Whole Foods. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the even-keeled nature of post-football is great. I really like it. You know, probably for you too. When you were tired of some of the shit. I was tired of it.
Yeah.
And the media gives me a chance to be like, to grind without the kind of the anguish of the lows. You know what I mean? But you don't get the highs either. And it's a grind. Yeah. Social media is a grind. I always feel like we got to keep up. I got to watch everything, and that kind of sucks. But other than that, I really like interviewing people and just meeting people.
You're doing well. Your brain is a good one, and your resume is legit. So I hope you continue just to enjoy it and crush it. But we're taking a break next week, actually. So I don't think you should ever feel scared or think that you have to keep up with everything. I mean, it's impossible at this point. But there's some good shit going on if you do decide to keep up. There is an insane world happening on the internet right now. I just opened the TikTok. I just started the TikTok, dude.
Yeah, you're way younger than me in like a way that like you get the kids, man. Like I feel like I'm a washed up. I feel like I'm just this washed up old guy that I'm like,
No.
You know what you have that I really like, Pat, is you built this kind of thing where your buddies are there. And that's like kind of what we're slowly but surely doing. You know, like only a couple of my buddies come into, you know, Knapp City is a lot bigger than Charlottesville. So finding, you know, talented help is sometimes difficult. But, you know, I love the fact that you feel like you're doing a hometown thing. Like, you're doing something with connections you made from your playing days, and you're bringing buddies along. Like, eventually, that's what I want to have. And then your buddies can, like, spend the time on Twitter and explain what the fuck TikTok is.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue. We did have one buddy here was on TikTok. And I was then asked by somebody we do business with, is that going to be your representative of your entire show on TikTok? Or what are you going to do? And I was like, you're right. You're right. I should probably get on there. But I think you do great work, Chris. Have a little bit more faith in yourself. Talking about Charlottesville, Virginia, your brother was living there, I think, whenever we did a conversation with you. And I think he actually said on our show, he said, hey, if Chris wants some, I'm rocked up. I'm 315. I'm rocked up. It felt like when he was getting back into it, and I don't know him like that, or I don't talk to him on a daily basis, just from afar and a little bit, you know, it felt like, he found love for football again. That's what it felt like. And just like you said, with the anguish and the whole process of being in the NFL, it's not just the games, it's everything about it, whether you feel like you're getting fucked by front office or the body's beat up or Twitter's burying you or you had a moment. You could see how being a professional athlete, especially in a situation that you don't necessarily respect, can weigh on people. It happens all the time, but it felt like your brother was all the way back. Like talking to him on the show, it felt like, I was like, oh, this is the Kyle Long that I met like after his rookie Pro Bowl or whatever, or his second year Pro Bowl. It felt like he was all the way back. This injury is a fucking bummer, but I was so happy to see your brother kind of get back in the game. The game needs him. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, man. You know, it's really hard being a big brother of somebody who's playing the NFL. I don't care if he's a lot bigger than me. I think I've said this before. you know, like he'll always be a little kid to me. And I don't mean that as a slight. Like, he's my little brother. So I don't care if he's a foot taller than me and he's telling me, hey, come get some down the road here. He lives a half mile away. He knows where I live, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
It'd be a good time to get him. But I look at Kyle as like my
little brother. Hey, great time to get him, by the way. Yeah, great time to get him.
It's the only time. So, hey, and one thing, on the record, my strategy would be to tire him the fuck out.
Smart.
All day. And I'm training jiu-jitsu now, Pat, so I feel like I've got some moves. Yeah, like break his elbow or something like that.
Yeah.
You kick him in the balls. I'm not above that if I had to survive. I mean, he's a grizzly bear. But I Kyle will always be my little brother, and I can remember being in London after we played the Jags at their home stadium there in London. And I'm sitting there with my mom at some nice restaurant, and she's watching Kyle's game on the phone, and we're celebrating a win, and all of a sudden I just see her face go like ghost white, and I know exactly what happened. You know, he got rolled up on, and I found out pretty quickly that he was carted off, and that was it. And talk about feeling helpless, being halfway around the world and seeing your little brother, who you still see as that little kid, on a cart for like the second year in a row. And I've been there where I got carted off 2 years in a row. Well, I didn't get carted off, but I was IR'd 2 years in a row. And I just know, like, as badass as Kyle is, as tough as you can be, as accomplished as you can be, football can make you feel like a failure. And that's really hard. And people on the internet will tell you. But who gives a fuck what anybody says? And so I think he took his year, he licked his wounds, and he said, I want to finish strong. Nobody wants to go out like that. And then you had some bad luck in OTAs, which, as you and I both know, these things happen, even in helmets and shells, or in helmets and T-shirts. And he just got rolled up on. So I'm pulling for him to come back and finish strong, man. He's a guy who's been working really hard to make this comeback, and I'm rooting for him.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that, but not happy he got injured, but the comeback still is conversation piece around a long family, because when Ian Rappaport, do you remember what Rappaport said?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this sack of rap sheet, this guy. He said he got an injury. The timeline expectation is before the season, so that means they're going to keep him on the team, I guess, is what Ian Rappaport said. He was like, keep him on the team? What are you talking? Kyle Long was starting for them, Ian. This is Kyle Long, dude. Like, what are you even talking about? And hearing you say, I didn't know if that maybe meant that Kyle was like, all right, I thought Ian was potentially saying that, like, about, like, Kyle was maybe backing off, even though he took a massive shot at Kyle. It's nice to know that Kyle is still going to finish this thing just because of one, you know, little bullshit injury that happens in the middle.
Did Rap Sheet take a shot at Kyle?
Yeah.
It felt like it.
Oh, yeah.
Can he get his own fucking takes, or does he have to copy Diana Racine?
Oh! Oh, murdered him!
I'm just joking. I got no problem with Ian Rappaport, man. You know, hey, listen, Kyle, I can't say like what the prognosis is, and Lord knows as a player, you know how it is. You can never, like, they'll give you a timeline, and you'll hear 40 different things about it. You know, like, as a player, and this isn't like, you know, any indication of what's going on with Kyle, because I won't tell you guys. I'll just be out front about that. But, like,
respect.
You know how it is. You get hurt, and they give you a 6 to 8 week timeline, or a 4 to 6 week timeline, or a month. And there's usually – that's a loaded timeline, because you, like, as a player, once that's out there in the media, then you have to race to beat that, because the court of public opinion sucks. You know, if you're hurt in your locker – in your locker room alone, like, you feel weird, like, when you're walking around, you're IR'd, and people are looking at you like, people aren't thinking about you, but you're just in your own head when you're injured in the NFL. You're like, when am I supposed to be back? When are my teammates hearing I'm supposed to be back? When are the fans hearing I'm supposed to be back? So when it comes to, like, reading things in the newspaper, one, people don't really usually know what they're talking about.
No.
And when you give these generic, like, timelines for coming back, there's so many variables with people. Like, Kyle's going to heal differently than Tyreek Hill. I mean, that one guy's 330, one guy's 140. I don't know how much Tyreek weighs, but
one guy's a big bear.
Different athletes, different positions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, one guy's a big bear. One's the most explosive person to probably ever come into the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. There is a
other than you, Pat.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did kick a soccer ball 124 miles an hour. Thank you. That means a lot. Nice. Hey, thank you. That's different explosivity. But what I'm talking about here is the expectations of him coming back before the season. And you talked about how, okay, so now everybody on earth hears a timeline. And if he does, oh, what was he doing? Did he fuck up in rehab then? That is the court of public opinion that you're referring to. But also, while you're injured, don't you also like kind of feel separated from the team sometimes?
You do.
Yeah, like I fortunately, all my surgeries were in the off season, but I was in the training room a lot because I'm not in a lot of meetings or whatever. And normally,
yeah, you guys are hanging out a little bit.
Yeah, we're trying to. I'm playing cornhole. I'm trying to
little
figure
Xbox, out. Little cornhole. Like y'all are making up games. You ran out of fucking games.
Bingo. Bored. Very bored. Want to let you know. Hey, can't wait for them to get out of their meetings so we have some friends to talk to. Here. But the guys that are hurt and are in the training room, a lot of the things that they say is they feel like they're not a part of the team too. So not only is there like this physical pressure and mental pressure put on yourself, but also you feel secluded because you can't go to the shit because you got to get other stuff. It's a tough thing being injured. Does not get talked about enough, I don't think.
It's really hard because think about it. Like I used to go home on a bye week for 3 days and you'd think I was so excited to go home, but you're so regimented that I felt like almost depressed to be home on a 3 week bye week or a 3 day bye week because I was so regimented and like I need to get with my guys. I need to be in the building. You feel like, what the fuck am I off for? Like, we're still working towards this thing. That's not to say you don't want your bye week, but just that, like, you start this impromptu bye week that never ends, and you're just on the table, and, you know, you feel self-conscious because people are looking at you, and they might just be looking at you like feeling bad for you, but you see a dude look at you when he walks in the training room, and in your mind, you're like, he thinks I'm just milking this. Because that's you're hardwired that way as a competitor. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, by the way, I don't think everybody feels that way. I just want to let you know, I don't think everybody feels that way. We had a couple guys that weren't like big name guys that were hurt that didn't have that thought, by the way, that were like, oh, these people are thinking I'm fake. They actually, there's, you know, and we've all seen in Coach JB calls them shitbird. There's people that are like that who like,
yeah,
who are, but you don't want to be accused of being that person. It, you know what I mean? Because that person does exist, and those are the accusations that exist. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, and I like when I got hurt the first time my eighth year, I played 100 games in a row. Like I was nails. You know, I played through all types of injuries that, you know, I can't talk about or that shot things up that I don't want to throw trainers under the bus, but like things I shouldn't have been playing through. And my teammates know that. But the minute I get IR'd for the first time, I feel ashamed. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like, that's kind of the way it is. The mental, like kind of macho thing in the NFL. It can suck when you're hurt for a lot of different reasons.
Chris, I appreciate you talking to us, by the way. Your brain is an incredible one. The
I take my fish oil and CoQ10 and I smoke marijuana.
Okay.
Copious amounts. The,
copious.
Copious. Yeah. Dude, it's fabulous and it's copious. The fish oil, do you burp that up every day? Is that, you take those? I used to burp, I stopped doing it.
I was fucking around. I don't take fish oil. I just, you know, I'm eccentric. I don't know. They say fish oil helps your brain fire better. CoQ10 or something. We could be feeding people bad information.
See, I thought fish oil was for the joints. Mm-hmm. I thought fish oil was for the joints. But
CoQ10, is that brain health?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think CoQ10 is really good stuff.
Oh, you know, yeah. Doctors,
we love listening. That. Don't just guzzle a bottle of fish oil or CoQ10.
Yeah, well, yeah, we are not doctors. But if you want to go get a T1H2C3, go ahead and guzzle that out very much. You're probably going to need it if you're wondering what that is. Chris, last question for me, and then the boys have some stuff. Whenever you hear like Bjorn Werner say that I didn't know this. I was on team with him. And I was like, I feel like pretty close, like talk to him on a daily basis. He was taking Toradol for practice every day. 2 pills Toradol for practice every day. Then he was getting shot Toradol for the games on Sundays. I did not know that was happening. I had no idea that was happening to him. But now this Toradol conversation is being recycled again like it was in 2012. It's coming back. And now marijuana's potentially being tested by the NFL as a rehab treatment. What are your thoughts on all of that? And how does the NFL handle this, you think?
Can't we have Mary Jane and Toradol?
Hey, by the way, I want to let you know, me, AJ, Darius, basically everybody's pushing for that. That is the...
Yeah, like, listen, I think adults can... Like, Toradol's dangerous, right, for some of the bleed-out reasons and that sort of thing.
Is it? What is it? What does it do? I don't know. I need to
supposedly
know.
Supposedly, like, head injuries, if you take Toradol, it can exacerbate the whatever. I mean, like, don't take this to the bank. I'm a fucking guy reading the internet. But, you know, I'm also a guy that shot Toradol in my ass cheek for a decade.
Yeah.
Like, I could not play without it. I mean, like, late in my career. I could, but it would have been bad. And so... you know, I can remember late in my career when that thing started to happen. Like, one of the trainers was like, a new place I was, they were like, we don't give Toradol shots. I was like, well, Chris doesn't play without a Toradol shot. So you go get the coach, man. And the coach comes over. He's like, what's the problem here? I'm like, well, they won't give me a Toradol shot. And the coach is like, give him a Toradol shot. Like, you know, like, I feel like some of this is probably, you know, a little bit of lip service. Hey, we're trying to get rid of Toradol. We're at least letting
grandstanding. Grandstanding, you're saying a little bit.
Well, you know, just more like, not liability, but like social liability. Like, you know, it's been a couple years that they've been dissuading people from shooting Toradol. And, you know, they've been saying pop the pill, which is, it's not the same. It's not the same. No, okay.
Yeah.
You know, you want that. You want it to go straight to your...
Chris, how about when that stuff goes in, by the way, and your whole body just, your whole, you literally feel it just go through the whole body. You're like, all right, here we go.
Ooh, let's play football.
I feel like I can go do that sit and reach test right now, and I couldn't touch the box beforehand. I feel like I can go ahead and play drums on the other end of that thing. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And then, like, you know, late in your career, if you don't feel great, I almost didn't get, you know how dudes go warm up out there and look sweet running around and shit, and they got the bands and that. I never went out there because I knew if I went out there, I was going to get in my head about feeling like dog shit before the shot. First time I hit that field, I need to have already had that shot.
Yeah, smart. So you don't get in your own mind, think that you lost it at all or that your body lost it. You're right. Let's get the Toradol and Mary Jane in there. And by the way, the NFL, they can hire their own botanists and scientists, create their own strands. I mean, this could be an entire, you know, evolution.
You're onto this, Pat, and I said this a few weeks ago. The next thing is player strains.
Yeah.
Like, imagine each player having a strain, like, if you want to. Like, that would sell like hotcakes. And here's the deal about marijuana, man. I know I became like this activist person that people, supposed activist, because I admitted on Dan Patrick that I smoke from time to time. You know, that doesn't make me an activist. And I also don't use it for pain. Like, I don't use marijuana for pain. Like, people always kind of prescribe the reasons that you probably use it. I use it to sleep, enjoy movies, deal with social anxiety, and generally because I like to get high. Like, I don't have to be the guy on my couch that can't get up, like, smoking 3 grams of, you know, Cali Bud so I can just walk around. Like, that's not me. But those guys exist. And so I think what we need to realize is that there are tons of applications for marijuana, and we don't have to say it's got to be pain. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many reasons to use cannabis.
Hey, I agree completely. And the pain can be emotional, it can be physical, it can be whatever. And it seems like this one particular plant has it all figured out. I don't know how we have gotten to the point that we've gotten to. I know it was you can't take it across state lines, and then it was changed into something very differently. I've always said this, Chris, and I assume that you'll agree with me because you have a big brain. The people that are in power about marijuana, I think their first real encounter with it was the hippies. Okay, I think the hippies...
Counterculture.
I think they potentially painted this image of what marijuana is to these, I don't want to say olds, but these olds that are in charge. And they're like, oh, remember what the dope did to those people that were out there?
Yeah, the dope made them think we shouldn't be in Vietnam. Holy shit, maybe you should get some.
But it is, I mean, that's a much deeper conversation, but that is exactly what happened, I think. And that's why it's taken so long, but I think we're all getting there. You know, like, I hope...
It's the reefer madness thing, like... You know, like, do you have a beer, or is that kombucha that you drink every
day? No, this is green tea, please. Jesus. All right.
Sometimes I think you're really living the dream, but okay.
No, what we are referring to right now in this bigger conversation that we're having, I mean, it's a big part of this show.
Oh, yeah.
It is a big part of this show every single
day. All that stuff is a big part of my show. Like, listen, sometimes, you know, I'm probably enjoying, you know, cannabis, and you don't even know it when I'm doing a show. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be something where you're just sitting there like couch locked. It can make you more creative. It can make me more focused. So, I mean, and it's not for everybody. I'm not somebody saying it's a panacea or that, like, hey, you're not, there's no negative to it. You can smoke too much of it. Fucking newsflash. You can do too much of anything. But, you know,
there's people that can abuse things, by the way. There's people that can abuse things. And that's in every walk of life. We have to hopefully get to those people, change those people. But those people can't be the reason why the large majority of people can enjoy something and, you know, use it properly. The boys have a couple questions here. I love your take there, Chris. Let's go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, Chris, Ernie Adams just retired up there in New England. When you were with the Patriots, did you have any interactions with them in the building or on the field? Or were you mostly hearing from Bill, from Ernie?
I loved Ernie, man. Like, you know when you walk into a room or a facility and it's just easy to spot the guy that's seen it all? Like, Ernie very obviously has seen it all. And just, like, people respect him so much that, you know, any chance I got, I would just kind of, like, bullshit with him or shoot the shit, pick his brain. One time he got hit with a football in the head in practice, and I think everybody's heart stopped because he went down.
Oh, no, is this over?
Yeah.
Is the dynasty over? Get up, you bag of bum.
Come on,
come on, Ernie.
Hey, listen, there's one guy you don't move the drill for, and it's Ernie. Like, you know, everybody else you move the drill. Like, Gronk could get hurt. It's probably move the drill up in New England. But for Ernie, you make sure he's straight before you do your next team period.
Chris, explain to the people who haven't been to a football practice what move the drill is, because the first time, I didn't grow up in a football culture community. The first time I saw it, I was like, damn, that's the most savage thing I've ever seen in my entire life, the coach just did. And he's just like, no, that's a normal thing here.
Okay, for corporate America, like, imagine you break your leg walking into a board meeting. Like, I guess you'd want them to move the drill. You wouldn't want to be writhing in pain.
But it's legit.
Talking about, like,
guy gets hurt on 25-yard line. Let's say it's third and medium day or whatever it is. Guy gets hurt on 25-yard line. Bad. Stop practice. Oh, shit. Doctors have to come out, right? Drill gets moved to the 50 then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow.
Yeah, everybody, here we go. Now, same situation. Fuck that guy. We got to go. It is efficient. It makes sense. But the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, we don't give a fuck about that guy.
Care at all.
Yo, one place I was, we moved the drill, and an ambulance was picking this cat up. Like an ambulance came. He got the ball lodged under his sternum or something, and it, like, broke, like, the wrong chest bone. I don't want to say rib, sternum. Like, the wrong one that you don't want broken. And he was having trouble breathing. And we were, like, I was like, we're still moving the drill? Like, we're really doing, like, red zone right now?
Yeah.
That's fucking the ambulances here.
How about them moving the pylons, too, by the way, if it is red zone drill? Like, if somebody gets down in the end zone, they'll just move the pylons. All right, let's go. 10, 15. Just move it down. You got to get, hey, we got 45 more plays.
We
got to
go.
Who wants to do it? Who doesn't want to do it? It's hey, you got to get better. We care about
it's
that.
It's humbling.
It is. I would assume. I've never been on the get the fuck out of our way. I've never been that guy. I couldn't imagine what it was like, but it was crazy to learn about. Last question here, Chris. We appreciate you. Good, Ty.
Chris, I don't know if you still have, like, contacts with the Eagles, but do you think Philadelphia will explode if Carson Wentz performs well for the Colts and things don't really work out in Philadelphia with the quarterbacks they have right now?
You know what? I think Philly would be pretty unhappy if he progressed that way, because, you know, you got a new coach, you got a new quarterback, but the guy that you saw that, like, kind of like that excellence for spots has teased you with it. And it just would kind of twist the knife on the last few years if Frank Wright and those guys are able to get a lot out of Carson, not to mention, like, if Carson plays well, your draft pick isn't as good. So, you know, the whole thing, you know, even if you're a Carson fan in Philly, if you're a fan of the Eagles, you're just hoping he stays healthy and has not the best year, probably, right? Because that's going to impact your draft status and that sort of thing. And it's going to make things even, like, more nuts. You just don't – like, if you're an Eagles fan, I bet you don't want him to do well, because it would make you feel better about the last couple years.
But if you're an Eagles fan – you know he's probably going to.
Yeah, he's going to ball out. Dude.
Yeah, if you're an Eagles, I assume if you're an Eagles fan, you just know. Like,
you had him on. How was that? It was good?
Awesome. Hey, Chris, he's big son of a bitch. Hey,
he's bigger than you think.
I did not know he was that big. He's like Lux. When he walked by me, I was like, this guy, I don't know, brain, football, everything like that wise, but he reminds me of Luck when he walked by. I did not know he was that big of a dude. He feels like he loves it out here, by the way, it seems like.
It's a perfect place. And I think he's already very happy. And I think he wanted Philly to work. It just, you know, when things at a certain point, when things just don't work out for long enough, it's like, what else do we have to do here? And And I think that was the situation in Philly. So I was happy to see him on with you so people got to see that side of him. Because he is a good dude, man.
I agree. And so are you. We appreciate you so much, Chris. The Greenlight Podcast is awesome. Everything you do is cool. We appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Long.
Yeah, Chris!
Thank you, Chris. Joining us now is a man who we have all been a fan of from afar, but first time ever getting to speak to a Florida Gator, a Jacksonville Jaguar legend. Ladies and gentlemen, 13 years in the NFL running back and one of the hosts of the I Am Athlete podcast, Fred Tate.
Yeah!
What's up, fellas? What's good, man? Hey, can you do me a favor, please?
Yeah.
Take that fucking ball down, man. Enough of that. You guys, you kicked my ass. You won all the division championships. Come on, bro.
Right, so what year was your best year there, you think, in Jacksonville? What year was your best year there, you think, if you had to put a year on it?
Probably maybe 2003. I think I had 1399, but I missed 4 or 5 games or something crazy.
Vinatieri had 112 points.
Yeah. He's the man.
No, I'm joking. You were also the man, Fred. We've got a chance to, you know, watching you through high school and then in college, you just had this size and speed that was just unbelievable. A power would pop off for like 40, 50 yards or whatever, and we just got a chance to watch the highlights back again. We looked this up. There's a top 10, right, for most career 100-yard rushing games, and you're in the top 10. 8 of the other people on this list are in the Hall of Fame. Hey, Fred Taylor's ass needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Stat, Fred. Let's
get it
go.
Done.
Let's get that thing done, dude.
I know, man. I know. It seems that it's, you know, a lot of people have been rooting for me and hoping that I get in there someday. I don't think they'll deny me for a whole lot longer, but it's doing its due diligence right now, right? I just got to be patient. I got to be political, and you know they throw the Pro Bowl stuff out there and all. I think the Pro Bowl is a joke. Obviously, it's what it is, man. It's the popularity contest, and the guys get voted in. But I much rather, you know, I think for me, the respect of my peers, yeah. You know, the guys that I play against, the Ray Lewis's, the Derrick Brooks, the Warren Sapps, you know, the Ed Reeds, Troy Polamalu's, you know, those guys that are Hall of Famers, you know, when they say Fred T gave me hell, that means a lot more to me.
Yeah, and by the way, the first thing you said there was your peers, your teammates, and I think that is why that I Am Athlete podcast is so good. It's like guys in there that are all respected in the locker room amongst their peers, coaches, getting a chance to, you know, talk about everything. You guys are fucking crushing it, Fred. I want to let you know we are all big, big fans up here of that podcast.
Appreciate it. Hey, man, it's all love. It's all love. I love when you have guys that have DB on there. That's my little bro. But our podcast, man, we just, you know, it was quarantine dreams. We were at home doing nothing. Brandon stopped by and said, hey, man, what about a podcast? You want to do a podcast? I said, I'm not doing anything else. Let's do it. And it was just sitting around and, you know, just getting creative. And it's so unscripted and raw and organic. Sometimes we don't have anything. We just go.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we make magic.
Oh,
those
yeah.
guys are great.
Were you doing media? Is this your first time dabbling in media? Because you said you got to do the politics game. That feel like that is the politics game, is to do a little bit of media. Have you done that? And if not, I'm very thankful that Brandon Marshall showed up at your house because you're awesome in there.
I appreciate you. You know what? I do some stuff for Jacksonville. I've been doing it since I retired. Game Day Live, in stadium. I did some preseason analyst stuff for a couple preseason games. I do post-game radio down in Jacksonville, Jaguars radio. Aside from that, the politics part, you know, I've heard a lot of guys that eventually got in the Hall of Fame, you know, the Terrell Davises of the world. You know, you talk about the Jason Taylors, you know, these guys that have had some stints in TV. You know, unfortunately, they got in there and they rubbed elbows with, I guess, the right people, and eventually they got those calls. But I don't know, man. I don't think a lot of those selectors had a huge opportunity to get to see me in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think so too. And by the way, let's talk about Jacksonville as a whole. You know, expansion team, obviously.
Right.
You had every record there for a long time. I don't know if you still do, by the way. I should look into that more. Your highlights, like 28 minutes long, I think we just watched, and I assume they even missed out on some things that we just watched there. But it feels like Jacksonville is getting a little bit of a burst right now with the Khan family investing, building up more building. Urban Meyer coming in there. You got Trevor Lawrence. Have you gotten a chance to get back in chat? What are your thoughts on the Jaguars as a whole right now?
You know what? Just going back to the whole expansion team, I got there after they were 2 years old. So, you know, they were winning early. They hit it early, a lot of playoff runs. And, you know, the fans were behind us. And I think our popularity came from the fact that we were winning. We were still boxed in Southeast Florida, you know, which were basically where the college football thrives, the Gators and the Seminoles and the Bulldogs, tucked away in that neck of the woods. And then we started losing for a while, and people sort of forget that there is even a team in North Florida because you still got the more popular teams in Tampa and Miami. But now, you know, I think that with the Khan family doing what they're doing, they've invested a lot in Jacksonville. They went and invested money in bringing in one of the most successful coaches in college football, in Urban Meyer, and he's excited. I've spoken with Coach Meyer, and he really wants to, you know, create a culture.
Hey, you like him? You like him? You like him?
I do.
You like him?
I like Urban. I mean, there's no reason for me not to like him. He's never, you know, we've never crossed each other. We met each other for the first time about a month ago.
Yeah, but he felt real. Hey, he felt real. I think that's why I like the I Am Athlete podcast so much, because I feel like you guys have a good read on people.
Right.
And I think if you're in a locker room, you get a chance to kind of develop a little bit of a sense in that whole thing, especially when it comes to coaches. Coaches, you can, as soon as you talk to a coach, Urban, everybody's like, he's a college guy. Uh-huh. It feels like he's going to be able to carry in, though. It doesn't seem like he's a...
He's a guy, he says he wants to put in the time. You know, he wants to motivate these guys. And like I said, he wants to create a culture. But he wants the guys to understand, look, the more success we have, the bigger checks all of us are able to cash in. You know, and I think that's one thing where the guy's like, okay, shit, I'm with that.
Yeah, he's keeping it real. Yeah.
So when I met him, man, it was a good feel. Obviously, he's a former Gator head coach, so he's Gator biased, you know, a bit. So the door is open for me. It's always been open, obviously, but – you know, I want to get there and lean into them and do whatever I can to help that culture and figure out a way to win. I'm still a Jaguar. I'm a Jaguar forever.
Well, when
so
people
I
think
want them to win.
When people think of Jaguar, you're one of the names they think of, though. You know what I mean?
Right, So the more successful they are, the bigger my name.
Hey.
the crazy thing is, the worse they do, the bigger my name.
Yeah, we're talking to Fred Taylor, running back for Jacksonville Jaguars for a long time, 13 years. Top 10 in a lot of categories when it comes to running backs. Everybody that he is normally classified next to is in the Hall of Fame. Excited for Fred to get in someday. Talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the come up over there, the thought of when we win, there's enough to go around for everybody is such a good motto and such a good motivator. Because listen, whenever you win, if you're somebody, now there's not as many of these as you grow older in the game, but hey, I love the game. I just want the opportunity. It's like, okay, when we win, there's enough for you guys. The people that are just in for business purposes, it's like, hey, we win, there's enough for you guys. It's the perfect way. I'm happy that Urban Meyer's doing that. And you know, that's because he's been paying players since, you know. Hey, go Gators.
That was dope. That was a nice segue.
Hey, you want some McDonald's, dude? That's Tennessee. That was not Florida. Go ahead, Connor.
That's Ocho versus Science right there, dude. With the Mickey D's.
Hey, what were your thoughts on that whole thing? What a performance. He represented, I think, for us in a great way as NFL folks.
You know what, man? Chad has some boxing background, and I was, you know, I was just excited to see him get in there and actually, shit. The other guy is an MMA bare knuckle fighter, you know. And for Chad to be able to get in there, never really took a real hit, and to be able to stand up in there, you know, he got a little overconfident, and he swung at the guy. The guy sized up and got a nice shot on him and put him on the canvas, but he hopped up. So I think NFL is 1-0 to the NBA because Nate Robinson was
there. And what was Channing saying? Booty up?
Yeah.
Your booty in the air.
Booty in the
like
air.
Like Nate Robinson. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But Chad that's did well, man. I think Ocho did well.
Hey, Channing on that couch whenever he was talking about the booty. I mean, that was a legitimate, incredible show down there. I hope you guys can continue that for a long time. Go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, Fred, a lot of great young running backs down in Jacksonville. Have you been, you know, talking to Robinson and Etienne about, you know, what they can do and how to develop their game?
Well, I hadn't talked to Robinson a whole lot. I met Etienne here just recently during the combine, just before he did his pro day. And good size on him, you know, a kid that they can move around and get creative with. You know, Coach Meyer, he wants the ability to, you know, utilize all of his skill guys in different formation sets and try and create some disadvantages on from the defense. So I haven't really just gotten in there and gave him a lot of my cheats and my game day nuggets. But again, I plan on getting back in there this year without COVID protocols, hopefully. And then I'll be able to, you know, get a little closer to him and talk a little bit to him. Without interfering with what the coaches are doing, but just like, look, when you're out there, you're the CEO. You're not going to fire yourself ever. So you got to get out there and just fucking not be a robot and just play. So that's really usually my only message to those guys. Protect the quarterback and do whatever the L your eyes take you, and you'll probably be more successful that way.
Well, okay, so let's talk about having success. So for me, I got a chance, obviously, to watch Vinatieri do his thing, but mm-hmm. also Peyton's in the building, and even though we are very, very, very different position, like watching what he did, right? I was like watching what he did. I'm like, okay, that makes me better. What he did right. and what Vinatieri did, all the OGs did, kind of made everybody better in their own ways if you just watch. And they always say like, hey, get in the back pocket of somebody who's been around a long time mm-hmm. and follow exactly what they do. Was there anybody for you, whether it's being an older running back from where you're from, or was anybody on the team, or who was somebody that kind of helped you kind of get along in the NFL?
When I first got in, man, this is crazy. I'm an offensive guy, but I always hung out with the defensive players. You know, they were the knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You know, they did a lot more than the offensive linemen and the tight ends and the other running backs. Tony Brackens was my guy. Okay. T. Brack was a defensive end out of Texas, and he would always get in there and say, okay, today, you know, let it come to you. This is what we're going to do, first or second snap. And then sometimes I didn't always listen to him, but he actually taught me how to prepare during the week. And I'm forever grateful for T-Brack, man. He definitely looked out for me.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Ty.
Fred, everyone's got an opinion on Tim Tebow. With you being in Jacksonville did you know about his legend? Like, I mean, I guess you're playing in the NFL, so maybe you're not privy to that or anything. But, like, things have kind of dropped off since they were really crazy around him. Are you hearing anything? And do you think he has a realistic shot of making the team?
You know, I'm not sure what year it was, but I remember hearing the Tim Tebow and saw some highlights. And I remember down in the area, they were calling him the White Michael Vick because he was left-handed and he was, you know, in high school, he just do all sorts of amazing stuff. And then he got to college and kept doing the same exact stuff. But Tim is just he's a great guy, first and foremost. He's an awesome human being, and he's a competitor. He has heart, and he's passionate about, you know, anything that he does, from what he does with his foundation, what he's tried to do in the NFL, in spite, you know, people saying, well, he's not a prototypical quarterback. But I think his win-loss record is better than a lot of these guys that were drafted that are really considered bust at the position. Whether he's going to make the team or not here in Jacksonville, I'm not sure. I kind of myself said he might be, you know, practice squad at best, you know, and give him an opportunity. He's been out some time, you know, in the NFL. One thing that a lot of people don't understand, Tim is great. Even if Tim has an opportunity to make the team from his natural ability, you know, the NFL is a business. If they have a young guy that's right there with Tim, NFL is a young man's game. I believe the team will invest in a younger player and maybe, like I said, put Tim over there on the practice squad. His influence is still in the building.
Yes.
Even though he's on the practice squad, you know, it gives them what they need and a leader, you know, a motivator. So I think it probably can work out something like that.
Fred, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Hope we get a chance to chat with you again. Yeah, you're the best. Literally anytime, I'm going to hold you to it. Yeah.
For sure, anytime.
All right, see you tomorrow.
All right, Fred Taylor. Yeah. Fred Taylor. Yeah. Thank you, Fred. Hey, so sorry to interrupt this conversation. That's cooking right now.
Yes, it is cooking.
Everyone always talks about how important it is to get a good night's rest, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you need a good night's sleep.
I didn't get a great night's sleep last night.
And by the way, this morning we could tell, but then the energy of the day kind of got after it. But people for your entire life have been saying, hey, make sure you sleep well tonight.
Hey, get a good night's sleep.
Need to get a good night's sleep.
Make sure you get a good night's sleep tonight.
But it's not always as easy as people just saying get a good night's sleep, especially if you're like me, where your mind is always thinking, mind is always going. Maybe you're thinking about tomorrow. Maybe for whatever reason, you just can't fall asleep. That happens to a lot of us. And CBDMD has come through with something called CBDPM that puts you out like a light.
Like a light.
Slept through the flight. That's why the folks at CBDPM created CBDMD created CBDPM to help you get the rest you deserve and feel your best every morning. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of superior CBD with sleep-promoting ingredients like melatonin, valerian root, and chamomile to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. So whether you're up late with the kids, pets, or existential dread, you can turn to CBDPM and get the rest you need to handle anything that comes your way. I use it. Nick is a big-time proponent of it. I believe there's a couple others in the office that use it on a nightly basis. Some guys get into it whenever they need to reset their sleep cycle, but I've been very thankful for CBDMD, CBDPM. It's something I legitimately use. I think you will enjoy it as well if you're not a great sleeper, but also CBDMD has a bunch of other products, whether it's for soreness, for anything else. I mean, they legitimately got a bunch of CBD, superior CBD products, and right now you can get 25% off your next order. It's almost a quarter there, dude.
Damn near.
When you go to CBDMD.com, CBDMD.com, and use promo code McAfee, M-C-A-F-E-E, you'll get 25% off your purchase of high-quality CBD oil products from CBDMD. Big thanks to CBDMD for being a hell of a partner with this show and also for creating products that directly affect my life, like the sleep one, because if not, I'm up all goddamn night. Back to the show. Joining us in this second hour in studio, a walking, talking ATM machine for us in here and the listeners of their show and their podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hammered Down Boys at Bubba Gumpino and at Tone Diggs. COVID Cowboy, is this the biggest heater anybody has ever seen in which you two are riding on right now?
Pat, I'll be honest. I can't remember the last time I lost a bet, so that's pretty good quality.
How does that feel? How does that feel? Legit. How does that? That has to feel so good because you, if we do go back into time, you've been gambling for a long time.
A long time.
What's your last name?
DiGiulio.
What's your first name?
Antonio.
That is not. But Anthony has been gambling probably since he came into this world in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He has absolutely loved it, obsessed over it. He's dedicated a lot of time to it. So much so, even during the COVID illness that he had to suffer through for 10 days, he just looked at lines until he almost died, and then he'd wake back up and look at lines and became the greatest gambler of all time.
Yeah.
So much so that when he got out of COVID, when he became an immunicorn, when he became the COVID cowboy riding again on the other side of COVID, his gambling started to go down a little bit.
Yeah.
So there was a decision made like, hey, you need to gamble and just focus on gambling all day. It is paying off. Diggs and Gumpy at this Hammered Down show at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yes, it's spring and summer, so it's daylight. Once fall comes around, it is standard. They are live at youtube.com/hammerdown. You guys are a fucking ATM. Is there any end in sight? It doesn't feel like it, unless you guys are just lying, which Foxy thinks.
Foxy does think that.
Foxy thinks it.
I've been tweeting out receipts now just so that he knows. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, here he is. Right here.
There's no end. You guys feel dialed in. What is it? Are you guys just doing a bunch of drugs? What are we? What's going on in this thing? And how can others do this? Or is this just you two are in a zone right now?
Feels so good that I took, well, it was actually Nick's pick. But I never bet hockey. First period, Canadians last night was plus 320. We'll take that one home.
2-0, I think, early they had.
Didn't watch a single minute of Clippers and Jazz last night, but I saw a tweet that fucking Bogdanovich was 6-for-6 in the first quarter. I said, that's not going to last. Give me the Clippers. They come home and win that one.
You're talking about Bogdanovich?
No, I think it was actually, I think it's Bojan.
Oh, Bohan.
Bohan Bogdanovich.
Well, same thing.
So you're just on a heater right now, and you're recognizing it.
Well, it's actually dangerous because it made me put in like 20 golf bets today and like 17 euro bets today. So it's dangerous. It's probably going to all come crashing down.
But
my quality has been good. The quantity of goodness, though.
Anything that people that are listening along right now that maybe you're liking, leaning towards earlier, or is that mostly in the Gumpy world as these Euro games are happening right now? Gumpy, what you want? You want 7-0 and then 9-0 and back-to-back days? That had to feel pretty good. And I guess you're 18-2 overall over the last few days. It's like, what are we doing here, Gumpy? Are you just seeing lines like Zach Galifianakis we're seeing at the blackjack table? Is this what do you got going on right now?
Just dialed in. Focus, focus, focus. Montreal last night, plus 380, 60-minute money line. That hit. Ukraine this morning hit.
Whew.
Gonna need a comeback from Belgium in the second half.
Oh, no! Oh, it's all right. Hey, a lot more pros and cons in this situation. You were looking forward to the Euros as if it was the Super Bowl, though. And I like the fact that you have performed in your Super Bowl because this is going to carry you probably for at least another couple of years right until the World Cup happens.
Yeah, I needed it. If I came out of the Euros struggling a little bit, I would have taken it very hard. The soccer bets mean a little bit more to me if you know me. So to come out, start 11-3 in these Euros. Couldn't ask for anything more.
You just gave a, hey, listen, this is my passion.
Yeah.
It means a lot. And also, 11-3, too. Can we have a little fucking respect here? Can we get a little bit of respect here is what you're saying. And this Belgium game you're going to lose here?
They're down 1-0 at the half. Still got De Bruyne and the boys to come on, though. We could get a couple in the second half.
So I don't know who any of these people are. Belgium's already played, though, right?
Yeah, they won the first game 3-0.
What we learn about Belgium, 50% tax rate, right? That's what they have over there?
Very high.
But they always have a good soccer team. What's that all about?
The Waffles.
What's that?
Beautiful country.
We got the waffles over there, too.
Yeah, beer.
Good brewery.
Good chocolate.
Yeah.
We got the big one tomorrow, though.
Who?
The lads.
Who?
It's coming home.
England. Who are we playing?
Scotland.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. First half money line. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm betting big on the first half of the money line for England-Scotland tomorrow, which is immediately after the Foxy Flick debuts at 3 o'clock or whatever. I'm betting first half money line, 15. Grand winning money goes to the show, and you guys, I think you're gonna, what are you gonna do?
Well, we are, you said the shares we split between the members of the show.
Yeah.
And then I said,
of course you did. I remember you did say this clearly. This was exactly what happened.
You said, let's do a giveaway.
No, you said.
And
you
I said one of the shares should go to someone who subscribed to the Hammered Down YouTube.
Diggs was immediately thinking about the HDB, the Hammered Down boys that watch along and call in. He said, well, they should get some too or whatever. Now, they will not have to clean the entire office, though, if Scotland wins that first half, which is a little bit of a – that's a – that we talked about it out there while you guys were still doing the Hammered Down show and we were talking. So what happens is I barged in, okay, to the Hammered Down show at about 4:15, 4:20. I forget what time it was. And I went in there and I said, I'd like to make a big bet on this Euros thing for the Hammered Down. England's playing on Friday. So we ended up working all the way up to, you know, them getting like 10 grand if England wins the first half money line alongside the bet that I make. And then on the spot, I had to think of like, what's the worst thing that you could possibly have to do? And it's like, okay, clean the office. And you guys said, yeah, you're all in even before even knowing what the bet was. We talked off air about that. That might be one of the biggest regrettable decisions that you guys have made in some time.
By far.
I used to scrub around toilets at the shipyard, Pat. I ain't worried about a little paint thinner.
Okay. I respect that. Diggs, let's talk to you then.
I am someone who has extreme OCD, so out there does bother me quite a bit, but I'm also lazy, so I never do anything about it. So this is a good opportunity.
To potentially
do something.
Oh, yeah, I'm forced to do it. Like, you can tell yourself that you were forced to do it.
Frame it.
Yeah, but you frame it in your mind. Like, yeah, I'm doing it because I'm forced to do it, but it makes everybody better. Good luck tomorrow, boys.
Hey, yeah, boys.
Come on, lads.
Thank you guys so much. We tried to call Fred Taylor a couple of times. I was excited for that conversation. He did not answer. I wonder if I have to be, hey, we are going to FaceTime you.
Maybe he's on EST.
Is Jacksonville in that weird part of Florida?
Hey, boss, can we FaceTime you?
He's in the bathroom.
That's happened before.
He's working on his game.
That has happened. Let's talk about some things that have happened, shall we, before we get to Fred Taylor? And thank you to the Hammer Down boys. I mean, we were waiting to see if Fred Taylor would answer there. So we're kind of doing that whole thing just to see until that. But what I learned was we got the hottest two gamblers on planet Earth.
Let's go, man. Let's go, boys. Let's go, right now.
4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, youtube.com/HammerDown, except for tomorrow. It'll be live for a watch-along during that England-Scotland game in which they could potentially win $10,000 or have to clean the entire office. Proud of you, boys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Congratulations to EA Sports. It's in the game. They released the Madden 22. The Madden 22 cover. And we kind of knew what it was, I guess, because the internet had figured that out, because they were at a private high school down in Tampa Bay and somebody took a picture through a building, through a tree, and Tom and Patrick Mahomes are sitting next to each other. But the Madden game releasing this, and Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, and Patrick Mahomes, the future GOAT, is how they're basically painting this whole thing. Them still agreeing to do Madden means Madden's still carrying a bunch of clout. Absolutely. They're still paying a bunch of money, I assume. I hope. I don't know how much money they made. I hope it was a lot. Full photo shoot down there. A lot of them looking down, by the way. Mm-hmm. Is that a metaphor for them at the top of the mountain? A lot of looking down photos. You know, there's a lot of people on the internet who hate a lot about Madden and a lot about what EA Sports has become, where they have kind of gotten comfortable, haven't they?
They're lazy, if you will.
Yeah. It feels like you're just putting new lipstick on the pig every single year. Madden 18, is Madden 19, same. Is Madden 20, same. Is Madden 21, and here's Madden 22. The only thing changing is the cover, is what a lot of people
bullshit.
Say. And I can understand and respect that, because I think when Madden came into existence, it was every NFL fan's thing. Madden had captivated and literally taken over the entire world for a long time, because John Madden, mm-hmm. a legendary figure, a man who changed football, the way it's covered and everything like that. Ty, when John Madden would call a touchdown, he would say,
well, you know, he'd say, boom, we all stay, hey, folks, I did John Madden.
He'd do that kind of stuff, you know.
Boom! You just go over here, and then boom!
Yeah, he did a lot of that.
Thank you, John.
That was why I wanted to come to this today. The Madden 22 release is huge, but Madden is obviously something that has let down a lot of people, and I think the reason why it has let down a lot of people, and we've heard that, is because of how many people absolutely loved it for a long, long time. And then as the expectations continued to grow for Madden and the next year's version and the game and the different genres and different, backyard football that exists and these other things, and it never got better, I think people got disappointed by it. But I hope one day, I hope EA Sports comes out and says, listen, we've been coding. You ever watch The Social Network? We got people dialed in there. We're coming out. Maybe that's what Madden 22 is. Maybe this is the one.
We'll see.
But by the way, that's the sell every single year, right? And that's
without
why they continue to get the money from everybody. That's why Madden will always be massive. Probably never have to be forced into changing, because the amount of money that it will make every single year, because it is Madden and it is a legendary game, is the reason why they potentially won't change anything. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, exactly. Mitt's been complaining about last year's version. Boom, they dropped the trailer today. He quote tweets it like, oh, now we go.
Can't wait.
They got so many dupes like that it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, hey, here, take my money again. I know it's the same game, but this guy's on this roster.
Hey, to be fair, though, they love the NFL.
They love
video games.
Without question.
They love everything
so much. I used to be that guy.
But you decided,
I said,
I'm going to let go of this thing that lets me down.
Exactly. I said, I can't do it anymore.
There seems to be an anchor once a year, and it's my excitement level being ruined by a company that I've never met any of the humans that are doing anything for it, not upgrading it to what I would have hoped at this point with the amount of money that I have invested into this franchise. I'm going to cut bait with that so I don't get disappointed anymore. If they were to move to another, I don't know how long EA Sports, I think it's another couple of years. I would assume they have a pretty long-term contract. But if they were to go somewhere else, would you give it a shot again? Or is it just you've grown out of the Madden level of life?
I don't know. I mean, I think the price point, like if they drop the price on it, like $20, I don't think anyone would have a reason to bitch. It's like, then now you know what you're paying for. It's like, yeah, I am paying for the new rosters and everything, but it's just getting more expensive every year. And then, you know, it really does feel like, you know, you get to a certain point, it's like, I've played this game a million times. I've done the same song and dance. I can't do it anymore.
And Connor, you're a good Madden player. Not as good as the one guy we brought in to play you randomly. Wolf, and he won $10,000. Yeah, he was like,
he knew what he was getting into. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. But I got faith in Madden this year. I think they're going to do it. Charles Davis has been on this show 15 times. I've asked him the same goddamn question 15 times in a row. Hey, when are we going to figure this Madden stuff out? And he said, hey, they're doing everything.
They're working
they can.
On it.
They're changing the game. They're going to make it better. And I think, you know, all in all, get to play with Trevor Lawrence finally in a video game. Now
that's
we go.
That's a good point.
You know? You've been waiting for that.
Yeah. By the way, that is the only upside, right, to there not being an NCAA 2K mm-hmm. or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
I was in that game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They made me a rounder, you know, and then I was in Madden. What's so funny, Jay? I didn't play those games, okay? So who was relaying the information to me on how I looked and acted in these games?
Probably me, yeah.
Yeah,
come
absolutely.
Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay.
It's just because they disrepresented you so poorly.
Bingo. That's what Jay would say. Jay say, I'm tired. I'm sorry. I had to get rid of you. You were so bad.
You're so round.
You can't trade you. You can't run. You can't do anything. So I actually, and this is a story I think that the person who still works at Madden has told now, they came in. And they're like, hey, how's it going? We got this thing for you. I'm like, hey, I don't need shit from you. You hear me? Do you guys know how far I can throw a ball? Do you know how fast I am? Who gave you the research to have me as a 4 on speed?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Who told you how far I could throw? I could huck a ball probably third farthest on this team. What is everybody else? Am I the third highest on this team? Fourth highest? Am I in the top 5 at least for that whole thing? Where do you guys get these numbers? And they're like, oh, we try to do as much film as possible. It's like, oh, okay. Okay, so since they won't let me throw, they're holding me back. You guys got to make me look bad to my family?
Come on.
My friends? My friends would like to play with me maybe booting balls on fourth, maybe even a quarterback.
Yeah.
You got me so goddamn slow they can't even like act to have fun doing it. They're like, sorry, we'll get to work on it. We're sorry. They were very nice to their credit. Yeah.
So
a couple years later, by the way, highest in the game.
You got boosted.
Yeah, highest in the game.
Was that when they had Madden people at every practice, or was that after?
I have never seen the Madden people. Whatever.
They have like Madden people who grade everything in their overall rating at almost dead.
Who told you that? Did I? I didn't.
No, I've seen you. It. No, there are photos of it of people at training camp for Madden.
It's not adjudicator. It's called something.
Yeah, strictly to judge what they should be ranked in Madden.
Is there self-awareness on there or anything like that? Is there anything?
Oh, there's awareness. There's not self-awareness.
I don't know.
Well, obviously for some people. But maybe they just didn't have to talk to me. You know what I mean? Maybe they were at a camp. They weren't at every practice. I know that. They weren't at every single practice. But maybe they were at a practice. I didn't see them. They didn't talk to me, which furthers my point. I mean, if you don't get to know them, how are you going to know? The only interaction we had is me telling you, hey, you're making me look terrible in front of my whole family. All right? I'm pretty athletic, actually. And then we move on. We move forward in the whole thing.
There it is. Ratings performance adjuster.
That's at a game, though.
Yeah.
I'll find the practice clips.
No,
that's not even the one I
practice.
Not the one I'm thinking of either. It's like two dudes walking around with clipboards.
It's got to be the Cowboys, right? Jerry Jones, like, hey, oh, shit. Yeah. Come on in. Do you need cameras? What do you? You want us to put the little lasers on them too, so you can get the full thing? Yeah. How much are you paying us for that whole thing? I like the Madden game though.
Yeah.
I like the community that it has. That's what I'm. I don't like the Madden game. I haven't played in years. It would be very disrespectful of me to say anything about it. The reason why I don't play video games is actually because of a Madden game and Jason McAfee. Yeah. I was about to beat him for the first time in my entire life. Jay, very good gamer. I'm obviously not so much. I was about to beat him. I was up. What was it, Jay? Fourth down. You called a timeout. I'm down. I'm up 4. And I think there was like 6 seconds left in the game, 7 seconds left in the game. Had to punt the ball to him.
Yeah, you punted it to him, and it was a return, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so he runs from his 10-yard line, punt return,
yeah,
to the end zone, doesn't want to beat me, you know, because it's the first time I'm ever going to beat him in anything, and maybe I'll be invested in video games alongside him instead of just, you know, hating. Turns around, runs back to the other end zone. What? Turns around, runs back to the other end, scores, and says, "I am so sorry." And his all his friends that that were there, like,
"Oh, on you, yeah."
Oh, oh, oh. Me? Yeah. So I'm never playing this game again, is what I said, and I threw the controller and I left, and I stuck with that for a long, long, long time. Never even touched a controller. For
and me. You're welcome because you're here probably now because of it.
So, thank you. Yeah. That is very true. That was when I was like 10 years old, maybe. I was like 9 or 10 years old. I was like, fuck that, I ain't never doing it. I'm a bit stubborn, too, so once I said I ain't never doing it in front of a large group of people, like, all right, I'm never doing it again.
Where's my soccer ball?
They'll start playing, like, I think Halo had a hell of a run amongst your friend group there going. for a while. Yeah. And there was some other, Madden, obviously, FIFA was a big run. Ooh. They looked like they were having so much fun. I'm like, nope, I ain't fucking doing
Can't
it.
Can't do it.
Fuck these guys. So you're right, appreciate you, Jay, but that was a tough night. That was at like 2, 3 a.m., by the way, that happened.
I think that was at Matt's house, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was a nightmare.
Anytime someone's running end zone to end zone, they're just being a prick. So I can't believe.
Yeah, he could have ran out of bounds, couldn't he?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. If he really wanted you to win, he could have just.
So fuck that Madden game. Now that I think about it, it led to me getting bullied by my brother and my friends.
Yeah, torsion.
I'm on everybody's side and said it's not fun. It's not cool. It's not good.
Until now,
there he is.
Yeah, see, this dude's at the Jags, rating everybody a 50.
Why is it always the same angle? This picture is there just like somebody that follows them around?
Is this personally? They maybe want to be anonymous, by the way, because what Connor just said about a lot of, I don't know, what, 6'4", 300-pound dudes right there?
Who the hell rated me a 52?
Yeah. Just like my thought whenever I was like, you gave me a 7 speed or something. Like, I forget what it was. It was, I did have some questions, though. I'm like,
You should.
Listen, I'm not as good of a punter as some people in this league. I understand that, but I mean, I can run. I can fucking run a little bit. And I can throw a little bit here.
Boost my throw power.
And you guys say you're being real. Like, be real. Let's be real then. All right. Shout out to Madden, dude.
The real problem is the MVP edition, because I thought they were pushing the whole GOAT thing.
Well, that's Zito made an incredible version that I think he submitted. When did you submit this to Madden? Yesterday before they announced
right before.
You're like, hey, last submission if you want it, because the rumor was that Aaron Rodgers was going to be on the cover, and the reason why it was so delayed and yada, yada, yada is because nobody knows what's going to happen with Aaron. Is he going to be in a Green Bay Packers Madden uniform? Or is he going to be in a Denver Broncos Madden uniform?
Or wearing the shield.
Or is he potentially Jeopardy hosting on that Madden? Too. Like, who knows what they're going to do? Allegedly, the internet was saying that's why it was being delayed. So then they come out with this MVP edition, and it's like, maybe he was supposed to be a part of this thing. Zito made it happen. Appreciate you, Zito, so much. Zito, good pop from Zito. Good pop from Zito. By the way, always looking down in these photos. Every photo, they're looking down. It's because they're at the top of the mountain.
That's right. Yeah, they've already climbed.
Do you think that's maybe Madden people, too, looking down at everybody that's hating on them?
Oh,
probably. Double entendre.
Like, hey, listen.
You're still going by it.
Scouring down. You know, when you have a camera looking down on you, you could potentially look a little weaker. You know what I mean? Depending upon. Now, there's always a good angle. There's a good angle you can get. But there's a difference between looking down upon good angle and then when you're looking down on somebody, down your nose. You know, it's just. These are all just games that are being played at all times that nobody even really knows about.
That's exactly right.
I had a teammate. Bad game, I think. I think he had a bad game. Sitting down in his locker doing the interview, and every camera was shooting straight down at him, basically. Okay, and he was answering questions like this, like he was getting scolded the entire time. And I was like, hey, man, I know you're miserable or whatever, but can't have 13 cameras staring down at you like that. You look like you're just in the bottom of a pit of hell, You have to stand just a little bit. He was like, well, I didn't know they were going to come. They kind of came over quick. I'm like, they did you dirty there. That's going to, because they're gonna, I mean, just the view of you looking up. It's just, it's all these, you know, bullshit type situations. Yeah. Just like you never give away the neck if you're a model taking a photo.
Oh, how terrible were those locker room, like, press conferences after losses? Did they last like 2 minutes or?
Yeah, so for me, it was never a problem. They didn't talk to me after wins or losses. You know what I mean? So I never got asked any questions. Vinatieri got talked to a couple times. His locker was right next to mine. Overton was right next to mine in the game locker room. We were together or whatever. He never really got asked much. But if you were in one of those lockers that was right next to somebody who got like a lot of media.
Yeah.
I would assume that that was not
nightmare.
Fun. Especially after losses where maybe you're not being asked questions, but you also can't really sit in your locker or go to your locker because your friend is now being asked questions about how terrible it is too, and you got to relive it. And then some of the questions, the way some questions are worded, I think there is some, I don't know, this is just me either listening on the internet or overhearing in the, some people are asking questions trying to potentially piss people off. And you, there's players that are like, I can't even get to my locker. You're a fucking asshole. We just got killed out there. Like there is those situations, I assume. But after wins, listening and to somebody cut a promo or whatever, you know, and like, hey, big thanks to this, 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 and this, and I did this, and then the, those types of moments, those are awesome. Because it's all, you know, it's, so what is anybody going to say in there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What is anybody, maybe cut a promo that's pretty good, which is awesome, but I just, it's the whole process of the media coming into the locker room immediately after a game is fascinating in of itself.
And they're not letting them do that this year, right? They didn't do it last year. I don't think they're letting them do that again this year.
And I know I have a lot of respect for the media, okay? Shaq last night, I think, said something about players being obligated and having to talk to the media or whatever. And you heard Ernie kind of go at him a little bit because Ernie was the media, and Ernie doesn't normally do that. And it was quite a moment. And the internet has loved this moment. And Shaq was talking from a player who had to speak after every single practice, every single game he ever had. Those game moments after the game where you get like 5 minutes, the coach gets like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever the rule is. And then guys just get bombarded with like cameras or whatever. I don't necessarily love it. I don't think it was set up for the best intentions. I think it was set up to potentially get heat of the moment stuff.
Reactions.
And that's coming from a player. Now, from a media member, you want, hey, I want to know how you feel right now to tell this story for like, this is what, how the team feels immediately afterwards, as opposed to like 30 minutes where maybe they can gather their thoughts, move along. So it's like quite a give and take there. But I always found it very interesting whenever they would just come sprinting in. Other teams, people would come in from the other city to ask about players on that team, people you never met before, while you're like almost getting dressed or naked or whatever. You're like, whoa, all right, here we go. Never met you before. And then he comes over. What was it like giving up a punt return touchdown? Okay, all right. It was terrible, bro.
Yeah.
Can I put my fucking pants on? Like, that would be the only time. Like, guys, like, I think that is when it's bad. But you got to figure it out. There's a full part of training camp where you listen to your PR person, and NFL put together basically like a why the media is important package. Mm. And like the relationship and what's needed. And then that was where we were taught what to say, what sounds good, what doesn't. They brought in the focus group where when Pete Carroll's speaking, this is good. Mm-hmm. And then the red. Yeah, so it's all one big ordeal, but it's fucking wild how it all works.
Is that the difference between like home and away at post game? Like the away team, when you are away, like if you say you're playing in New England, those beat reporters and shit are running into your locker room?
For me, the biggest difference was what type of toilet paper is placed? Okay.
And
how much room am I going to have? Because Vinatieri holds a lot of weight, obviously, whenever he's in there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be by wherever Vinatieri fits in. And there's a lot of people, though. Some of these locker rooms at some of these places, though, are very small. We're talking tiny little places. So guys are sharing lockers and everything like that. When I got to the point where I wasn't like sharing a locker with somebody, I was like, I made it. I fucking
did it.
But then you get to a locker room that only has like 40 lockers, and it's like, am I sharing one with Vinatieri right now? I don't know. I should just get the fuck out of the way here. Yeah. So it's like, that is what I look at. The media thing, I never got talked to, so I didn't pay attention enough, but I did look around and see people that in every city was like, oh, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. There's so much after game tradition, though. Like back in the day, Shane Lechler and Colquitt used to get us beer. That would be sent over to us, you know, via however it could get to us. There's like so many like cool things. You see a lot of behind the scenes meetings that happen between players or even coaches that come from town or go into where the other person's locker is to say hello. I mean, it's very interesting, the pregame, postgame charade almost that happens.
That mic'd up a Favre on the sideline when he was waving down the guy from the Lions or whatever when he was with the Vikings trying to get a hamburger.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Last time we were here, he gave me a great burger.
Waving at him, like doing the motions. It was awesome.
And by the way, Brett Favre,
What a guy.
What a guy.
Legend.
Didn't know what a nickel defense was.
He's a gunslinger.
Hey, he wants that burger.
Yeah.
How about whenever he comes? This, there's a guy we just learned about, Lombardo. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Not Lombardi, Lombardo. But like when Brett speaks about the Aaron situation, holds a lot of weight, right?
Yeah.
Brett came out and said that Aaron texted him and said, like, yeah, I'll talk to you after this is all over or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think Brett came out and said that because everything Brett was saying about everything for a couple months was going viral. Brett Favre's take on insert topical thing here was trending every day for like 2-3 months.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Brett Favre said something. It was about Copperfield? No, time it was about America.
He's talking about Syria.
Oh, actually. Okay. All right. It's not about Wranglers?
Rogers to the Saints, maybe?
He was pulling
that narrative for a little?
Yeah, so he was saying that I just lost. Oh, God damn it.
Battery's dead.
Anyways, but when Brett says something, he's been there. He's gone through the Green Bay Packers, like, hey, yeah, forcing you out, drafting somebody else. Although, very different situation. Aaron fell to the Packers then, as opposed to trading up. Whenever he says something about the situation, everybody's like, oh, okay. Jay Glazer yesterday says, hey, he absolutely still wants out or whatever. I know that. We had to put it on the ticker.
Oh, yep.
Obviously, it became, had to put it on the ticker because he said it and it's a big story or whatever. And it's Jay Glazer. But then you hear some people say, like, they'll be able to work it out, like James Jones and A.J. Hawk said that, and former teammates. I think Kuhn said that as well. He's still in Green Bay. So you don't really know what is going to happen in this whole thing. It seems like there's more information rolling out every single day. And anybody who could potentially have an opinion is going to have one. And by the way, we respect it because we got to cover this shit every single day. So somebody's new opinion every day is good. Lombardo from the Fan-Sided app?
Blog, I think, yeah.
The Fan-Sided blog. He did an interview, and he said that a former GM he spoke to, anonymous GM, which are always good, a former NFL GM said, Aaron's selfish. Teammates don't like him. Coaches don't like him. It's all about Aaron.
Whoa.
Then Lombardo at Matt Lombardo NFL tweets, there's no precedent for an MVP being traded next year. Might Packers do it with Aaron Rodgers? This week's Fan-Sided national column. Okay, so maybe Lombardo spoke to a GM. He's saying he is and said Aaron's selfish. Players hate him. Coaches hate him. Everything like that. We've heard the very, very different story. So what GM do you think that is? Is that Gutekunst? Is that the GM?
Whoa.
Or is this a retired GM who was around 15, 20 years ago who heard the narrative about Aaron from a couple people way back in the day before Aaron decided to ever speak about anything and said he'll just kill him with indifference by not answering anybody's stories about him? Is that what that is? Or is that somebody for real? And there's a lot of reports coming out from Moz and this guy. And it's like this could blow up in any direction. And I have no idea what's going to happen with it.
Could Aaron just put an end to all this and come out and maybe tell his side?
Probably, but
yeah, he could.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers, kill him with indifference.
Yeah,
that's right. Like literally
that's his style.
That's his style. If I come out and answer everything, I think I don't know if he told us this directly or this was just our takeaway. He basically said, I'll kill him with indifference. If I came out and answered everything, then my entire life, he said, would be answering people just making up false things about him, which, by the way, I respect. I would have never been able to do that. If I heard some of the things that are being said that were trying to, you know, paint an image about me that I knew wasn't correct and a lot of my close friends knew wasn't correct and everything like that, I think I would not have the discipline to not say anything and see the bigger picture like he potentially does and, you know, not want to get into the drama of it. But that was kind of his thing. And with this whole, you know, situation blowing up, I don't know if Aaron or Green Bay ever expected it to blow up. So I don't know if Aaron or Green Bay have any idea how this is going to go. And I wonder if they don't even care about the public's opinion right now because they don't know what's going to happen either side, except for Mark Murphy, who, you know, he's a complicated fellow.
Well, and I think at this point, like anytime I'll see something new, you just have to take it with a grain of salt because if you have, you know, I mean, now's a good
time.
The Glazer
yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
hey, I was getting attacked yesterday for what Glazer said.
What?
On this show.
Right.
Why?
Glazer was getting attacked. I was getting attacked.
But why would you?
I don't know. So I was like, James Jones said it on NFL Network, said it on The Hurt, said it on my show as well. And AJ said it on my show as well. The other side of this whole thing, Jay Glazer's just telling you, are they going to say something like he's a complicated fellow and then say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I want to be back, which was, I think, was a pretty common sense take on the entire thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he also knows more people, you would think. So who knows what he's hearing? Who knows that whole thing? But Packers fans are not happy with him saying that, especially after James Jones and AJ Hawk said it is mendable and everything like that. This is a wild scenario. It's big. This is a big, big, big scenario.
Well, I think the main difference with what Glazer said was it's not fixed. Like James Jones, AJ, John Kuhn, all those guys said it's fixable, but it's not fixed yet. So until it is fixed, Aaron may still want out.
Okay, let's get to a break.
Yeah, I agree. I think both things can be true. He could want out right now and things could still be fixable.
Well, that's
sure.
why I was so confused about everybody's take on Glazer. Because they were talking about how James Jones and AJ Hawk and Kuhn said it's fixable, it's fixable, it's fixable. And then Jay Glazer, the big take is he still wants out or whatever. It's like, well, if they're saying it's fixable, it means what? It's not fixed yet. So if he's saying he still wants out, like, well, until it's fixed, right, they're probably both going to still be in their corners.
Yeah.
But people didn't want to hear, hey, bury Jay Glazer. And I took some ricochet shots as well.
That's ridiculous.
I had a rough day on hearing it.
Don't forget, hashtag Jay knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did.
Yeah.
He told us about this whole thing like 5 hours before it broke on Shefty. We had to sit there. Do you remember the whole show?
Oh,
we had
it was miserable.
Insane.
It was miserable.
We had to sit on that the whole show.
Talking about the draft.
Well, then we also had to, you know, because at that point, hashtag Jay knew.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I think Jay called us and told us that just to flex, by the way, immediately afterwards. Yeah. Like, hey, you remember that little game you guys played last night? With no, you didn't. Yeah, you did that whole thing. Yeah, how about this? 5 hours from now, something's going to break.
Yes, I do.
And then it's and then basically just hanging up. Yeah. By the way, just hanging up, and then going like, "Good luck out there." And then all of a sudden, Schefter's like, "Aaron Rodgers wants out of the Green Bay. He has told teammates more on this and this and this." We just said, it's been quite a story here as this thing has evolved, and nobody knows how it'll end. But if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, hey. Go, love, go.
Go, love, go. Go, love, go. Go, love, go.
For now.
For now.
Until it gets fixed, which everybody's saying is possible. Can't thank you enough for, you know, choosing to listen to the show. I know it takes work. It's a destination type thing. You got to go click on something and then plug something in maybe and listen to it and spend time through a lot of the stupidity to potentially learn some things, hopefully, about the world and laugh a little bit and escape. And a mental vacation ultimately is what we're looking to have here. So if you enjoyed it, please be a friend, tell a friend. Hashtag in a pod squad. We gave out, I think, a couple thousand just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Still going through the contacting people, getting their information, but we got a couple more. And like you said, we're doing it, you know, continue to do so.
We appreciate you all so much, especially if you're still listening to this show.
Yeah.
You're the best. You've been through some shit if you got here.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate you so much. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into a beautiful Thursday night as we're back tomorrow with a Feel Good Friday live from Tampa Bay. Today's show big, yesterday's show big. Wait until mañana.
Hell yeah.
We might have another right hand from Sugarland on tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, no teases, but maybe, possibly. We'll see you then.
Okay.
Feel it. me softly. I need it like Noah needed Ali. It's all the same, the same, the same. Said you would not take mine.